He climbed the hill, he took the cross. Man, what a great song. I want to encourage you to, you say, well, preacher, why do you have these college groups in? In fact, next Sunday morning, the West Coast Baptist College will be with us. It just worked out that way. But it's not just for them, our teenagers, to be exposed to the college, and we want that, absolutely. Also, it's a good opportunity for them to buy some good music. You say, preacher, what do you listen to in your car and in your home? That right there. I mean, if you go to my wife's car right now, that's what's playing. And I'm telling you, if some of you get away from the radio and stop listening to the junk and get to listen to godly music, it'll change your life. It really will. You don't realize. I said that pretty abruptly, didn't I? Didn't beat around the bush, did I? But you don't realize how profound the profound effect that music has upon you and upon your life. And if you'll center yourself with some good godly music and expose your kids to it young, man, when they're two or three, this is the kind of music they should be listening to. And it'll have an impact, a profound impact on their life. So I want to encourage you. It's not about, it supports the college, by the way, if you buy the CD. It's a lot better than going to Lifeway and buying something. Support their bureaucracy. But you can support the school by buying a CD. So I put the plug in for you, brother. But I mean that. I mean that absolutely. I just love good, godly, Christ-honoring Christian music. Amen. And I'll say a little bluntly again that, you know, that maybe stirs the mind before it stirs the foot sometimes. Hello? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Man, I'm in a good mood. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Very simple topical message this morning. I knew time would be an issue, but man, this is the most important part of the service, the reading and preaching of the Word of God. But just a few reminders this morning as we look at Romans chapter 8. Familiar passage to most of you. Verse 37, Paul speaking here says, "Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." And we can go back through verse 28 and 29 and look at how God works all things together for good. We can talk about verse 30 through 35 and 36, speaking about what Christ did for us on the cross and the great price that was paid that we might have eternal life. And that's what makes us more than conquerors. That's what makes us more than conquerors. That is through Jesus Christ and His love for us that we can live a life, a victorious life. I use this statement a lot, but life was meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Marriage was meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Children were meant to be enjoyed and not endured. I mean, understand this morning that God gave us life, and Jesus said He came to give us life and to give us life more abundant. I want to remind Christians this morning, He not only gave us life, in other words, He quickened our spirit, made us alive, and gave us a home in heaven, but He desires a victorious Christian life for you now. He desires that you have an abundant life now, here on earth. In other words, my only gain in getting saved is not just heaven. I gain something now. I gain peace. I gain comfort. I gain strength. I gain contentment. I gain joy. On and on and on of what the blessings there are in knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of Your Word. And Lord, we do want to slow down and just remember the great sacrifice You made for us. Lord, we thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross for us that we might have eternal life, that our sins might be forgiven. God, we thank You also that You sent Your Son in order that we might have life and have it more abundant. I pray this morning that this sermon, the message, the word that's spoken, will be just a great encouragement to those who've come out to hear Your Word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many people today who are living lives of discouragement. There are many today who are living lives of defeat. And that shouldn't be the case. Again, God didn't just give us life, but He gave us life to be enjoyed, not endured. Here's just a few things, and listen, this is not an exhaustive list. You could come up with some yourself, but here's just a few things this morning to help you. Why many may not, maybe you are not experiencing victory in your life. Number one, maybe it's because you're not resting in the finished work of Christ. Many today are not resting in the finished work of Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:21, understand that Christ pardons us. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God sent His only Son, His only begotten Son, into this world. Into this world. He became poor. He who was rich became poor. Listen, this morning, God sent His only Son. Why? That we might have eternal life. God sent His only Son in order that we might receive the righteousness of Christ. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Christ never sinned once while here on earth. He lived for 33 and a half years, and never one time did He have a sinful desire. Never one time did He perform a sinful deed. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He lived that perfect life for you. He lived that perfect life for me. And though He had never committed any wrong, and though He had never sinned, He laid Himself down on that cross and allowed those Roman soldiers there to nail Him to that cross. And there on the cross, He died for me. He died for you. He didn't die for His sins because He had committed no sins. He died for our sins. He died for our sins that we might have eternal life. You see, the Bible says, for the wages or the payment of sin is death. In other words, those who die without accepting Christ as your Savior, those who die without a personal relationship with Jesus, those who die without placing their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that hell is going to be their home. The wrath of God placed upon their sins. Listen, but Jesus Christ, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ came in order to pardon us, in order to forgive us our sins, and there die for our sins and pay the penalty for our sins. He took the wrath of God for us. He died in our place in order that we might escape hell and have a home in heaven. Listen this morning, many people are not experiencing victory, and maybe you're not experiencing victory in life. Maybe you're not experiencing that peace and contentment, and maybe you're not enjoying life simply because you're not saved. Simply because you're not resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Simply because you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, victory starts first with having a relationship with Jesus. Amen. That's the starting block. That's the beginning point. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I pray you can do it today. Amen. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen after the service today. We don't know what happened. I drove up on the scene of this wreck here just a couple of days ago, right here in front of our church. You don't happen. By the way, you need to pray for those. It was a young man, 19, and the Farm Bureau agent here in town. It was him as well, and his name slips my mind right now. But to pray for them. You don't know what's going to happen. No man knows what tomorrow brings forth. Accept Him today. Accept Him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Put your faith and trust in Him. Victory first is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Some people are not experiencing victory because they haven't surrendered their will to the Lord. Listen, Christian, we've been bought with a price. Amen. We ought to give our all to Him. If you truly want to experience victory in the Christian life, you must surrender to Him. Romans 6 speaks about yielding yourselves as instruments to Him and not to unrighteousness. It says there in Romans 6 that we ought to yield our members to Him. In other words, yield our bodies to Him. If you want to live a life of victory, you must yield to Him. That's it. It's total surrender. It's launching out into the deep. It's trusting in Him. And at Thy word, I will, Lord. By the way, our greatest example is Jesus Christ Himself. What did He say? Not my will be done, Lord. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Christ is always our greatest example. And we must follow in His steps and yield ourselves. Yield our lives as a living sacrifice to our Lord. It's hard to do, though, isn't it? Isn't it hard to get a child to that point where they're yielded to you, some children more than others? We have three boys. First one came out grown up. I mean, he was already grown up. He was pretty easy. And some of y'all remember, at 10 years old, he was talking like a man. It was amazing. At 10 years old, at 10 months old. That didn't sound right. But anyway, so the first kid was pretty pretty easy. And he's still, you know, he's, the Board of Education, the Seat of Understanding happened several times. And then the second one, it's about the same. They're all, most of them are here. I'm going to make fun of them. And then Micah is a whole different story. Now he's in the seventh grade. But if you look it up in the dictionary, you look up strong-willed child, his picture's there, right? Now, for our parents here this morning, you understand this statement. We are to train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it, correct? And we do that. Time, love is spelled T-I-M-E. You spend time with that child and love on that child. But there is a point, and when they're young, when they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they're that age bracket, in which you must get to the point where their will is broken to you. You must break their will without breaking their spirit. Say, how do you do that? I don't have time to go to give the whole lesson this morning, but the lesson can be learned simply by a horse. You say, Pastor, you're about to make an analogy between children and a horse? Yeah, I am. Here we go. So when I was 8 years old, my grandfather bought us a horse. My papa bought us a horse, all the grandchildren, three of us grandchildren, and unbroke quarter horse, about 18 months old. And he began to pet on the horse and love the horse. We got up there the first time. My brother got on the horse the first time and almost died. That was the funniest thing to watch, him get on that horse. My brother's 4 years older than me, and he's long and lanky, and he got on that thing, and boy, that horse is bucking and going out, getting at it, and almost went under a barn and nearly decapitated him. It's amazing. I'm glad he's alive today. I'm not saying that. It's my brother. But I remember how wild that horse was. But you know what? We left that week, and my papa began to still work with that horse and pet that horse and feed that horse by hand and develop a relationship with that horse. The next time we came up, it was an entirely different case. My brother got up on the horse, was able to walk around, you know, the horse, you know, while I was on his back. It was a different horse. Why? Well, my papa had already spent time with the horse and developed a relationship. Does this sound like a weird analogy? Spent time with the horse, loved on the horse, and the horse loved him. Right? Now, he had a little switch thing that he had used from time to time, but that was the exception to the rule. It was the time and the effort and the relationship that he developed with that horse. God desires that our will be yielded to him. And it's not about breaking somebody's spirit and stomping on somebody's head and saying it's my way, highway type. You know what? God does everything for our good. Amen. I have another message I'm working on out of Deuteronomy where he actually uses that term. These things are for your good. I use that term a lot. Some are not having victory because they're not resting in the finished work of Christ. Some are not having victory in here this morning because they're not yielded to the will of God. Some are not experiencing victory because they're not studying the Word of God. Right? Psalm 119 says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen, many do not experience victory. Some today, some here today. We are not experiencing victory as we should because we're not reading our Bible and praying as we should. Everybody stay with me now. I know this is a subject we teach on a lot. Stay with me for just a moment. The Bible refers to, in Ephesians 6, the Word of God is our sword. You know, it's the offensive weapon that God has given us. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is how we experience victory in the Christian life. Through the Word of God. Can I just say that again? It's through the Word of God that you experience victory. It's relationship driven. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. God desires a relationship with you. I here just the other day was looking through a box, and in that box was some letters from my wife to me back when we were teenagers. We were high school sweethearts and met when we were 13. And so there's some letters in there from my wife when we were teenagers. They're pretty awesome. I like going back and reading them. And we've written letters from time to time to each other, notes to each other as we've been married as well. And you know what? What if I'd never read any of those letters? You know, God wrote a letter to you. If I never read any of the letters from my wife, the relationship may not have happened. I don't know. This is God's letter to you. If you want to have experienced victory, then God's desire is that he have a relationship with you. That takes time. Prayer. Prayer is speaking to God. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. What if I never spoke to my wife? We wouldn't have a relationship if I never spoke. By the way, communication is the key to marriage. Communicating. By the way, time. Spending time with each other in marriage. You've got to communicate with one another in order for the relationship to grow. And you've got to communicate with the Heavenly Father if you want the relationship to grow. And it's through that relationship and as it grows that you experience victory. Let me say this again. If you want to experience victory in your life, one of the ways in which that happens is that developing that relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. It's as simple as that. Yes. It really is. And as you develop that relationship with Jesus Christ, as you're reading your Bible every day, as you're praying every day, as you develop that relationship, He will give you victory. It's amazing. Sin will keep you from the Bible. The Bible will keep you from sin. Amen. Having our minds stayed on Him. Think upon these things, right? Let's develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we will experience victory. Time and effort spending in the Word of God. And then we think about some are not experiencing victory because they're not working for the Lord. Pretty simple stuff. Man, this is high-tech sermon this morning. High-tech. Some are not experiencing victory because you're not doing nothing for the Lord. Faith without works is dead. It is about serving Him. It is about witnessing for Him. It is about doing for Him. Submitting, Matthew chapter 10, we won't turn there, but submitting to His commands. Submitting to His commands. Doing for Him. Listen, Christian, listen. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time you handed somebody a tract? When's the last time you witnessed to that neighbor or you witnessed to that family member or that coworker? When's the last time? I'm telling you, victory is found in working for the Lord. Victory and peace and contentment and that abundant life is found in doing something for the Lord. It will revitalize your Christian life if you'll simply get involved in working for the Lord. And whatever it may be, teaching a class, helping in Sunday school, helping in children's church, helping in the nursery. Aren't you glad there's a nursery this morning? Amen. I always want to brag on the nursery workers. And those ladies up there working with the toddlers, I think pretty much we should enshrine them in some kind of hall of fame. It's amazing. It's getting involved. It's working. It's pulling the stagecoach rather than dragging the stagecoach, rather than riding in it. Abundant life is found in working for the Lord and witnessing for the Lord. And I just can't state it any simpler than that. In other words, joy is found in leading others to Jesus. We've been studying this on Sunday night in the book of Philippians. As we do for others, as we work for others, as we become less self-centered and more Christ-centered, it brings to us victory. So, preacher, I don't connect all the dots. I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible says. Do it, and you'll find out it's true. You get a little glimpse of it when you give somebody a gift that's more blessed to give than it is to receive. How does that make you feel when you give a gift to someone? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? Some of you grandparents, makes you feel, you know. Us parents, giving gifts to our kids, you know, does something to you, doesn't it? And I'm telling you, every time you teach a Sunday school class, you see one of them little kids get saved, it'll do something to you. Every time you teach in the master's clubs and you're up there dealing with a child and then you see Brother Dickerson or whomever over to the side on a Wednesday evening afterwards leading that child to the Lord, or maybe you get to lead him, man, it does something for you. It'll change your Christian life. It'll give you such a bounce you wouldn't believe. It really will. Get the opportunity to see some young man surrender to the ministry or some young lady surrender to the ministry. It'll do something for you. It'll do something for you. Giving of yourself to others will always produce victory. Giving of yourself to others will always produce victory in your life. I want to experience victory, don't you? By the way, Matthew chapter 25 says, if you don't use your talents, you'll lose them. You can look it up later, Matthew 25, 29. If you don't use your talents, then you'll lose them. Listen, we need to work till Jesus comes. O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come when I shall lay my burden by and rest with thee at home? We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. We'll work till Jesus comes. And it's not just for them. It's not just for the people you're helping. It does something for you. Isn't that amazing? And then lastly, we think about victory is found in being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, and this is one area in which all of us continually work and continually strive for. I do believe the filling of the Spirit. By the way, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to abide in you. Holy Spirit, when you got saved, when you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. Holy Spirit abides in me. He is there. Jesus said, if I go away, and He did. He said, if I go away, I will send another Comforter. And He sent us the Holy Spirit. And when I accepted Christ as my Savior at the age of 6 years old, there in my pastor's office, kneeling at his couch, at the very moment I believe and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came and abided in me and has now resides in me. By the way, the Bible says, I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. I'm glad today that when I got saved, I can know it. I'm glad when I got saved that it's forever, that I don't lose it. I'm glad today there's peace and joy in knowing that once I get saved, I'm always saved. And I have that Holy Spirit of promise, and that Holy Spirit is there abiding with me. And the Bible says, again, that the Holy Spirit came to live inside of me. So the filling of the Holy Spirit is not about getting more of the Spirit. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to have more of you. This really goes back to the previous point about yielding to the Lord. Yielding your will to His will. It's about giving Him all the compartments in your life. Let me say this again. It's about letting Him in every door of your life. It's not putting compartments in your heart and in your life and saying, all right, Lord, you can have all this stuff, but you can't have this stuff. Or, Lord, you can go into every room in my house, but you can't go into this room. Right? Well, we need to yield it all to Him. Give. In other words, it's not about how much you have all the Holy Spirit you'll ever have, but how much control do you allow the Holy Spirit to have of you. Be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command. And it's something I believe that we ask for. In other words, in your prayer, when you're praying, you should seek the filling of the Spirit. You should say, Lord, please fill me with your Spirit. It's freely given. It doesn't cost anything. He'll give it to you. The filling of the Holy Spirit is for enablement. The filling of the Holy Spirit is for enablement. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit that gives us power to live that abundant Christian life. It's the grace of God in that filling of the Spirit that enables us to live an abundant Christian life. Lord, please fill me with your Spirit. Lord, please give me your grace. And He'll do so. He will do so. And therefore enabling you and encouraging you and strengthening you to live the Christian life. And well, we could say more about being about quenching the Spirit. But we need to be careful as Christians not to quench the Spirit. Not to do things and not to do things that would quench the Holy Spirit. That's the sin in our life. But it also can be things we don't do that can quench the Spirit. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. I'm glad I'm sealed to the day of redemption. Seek the Holy Spirit. Victory is found in resting in His finished work. Are you resting in His finished work this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know Him as your Savior? That's the starting point, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, believing is simply putting your faith and trust in Him, asking for forgiveness of sin and putting your faith and trust in Him. Not, by the way, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about whether you get baptized or join a church or whether or not you were raised in a Christian home. It's whether or not you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection as your only means of salvation. I hope today you've done that. Victory is found in submitting to the will of God. How many of us have seen our kids who did not yield to us miserable? Huh? Right? And when you don't submit to God's will as a Christian, you just become miserable. Well, let's submit to Him. And then we're neglecting many times. We don't have victory because we neglect our relationship with Him. That Bible reading and prayer that I learned when I was 5 years old in Sunday school, Bible reading and prayer. How are we to have a relationship with Jesus Christ if we never communicate with Him? Let's communicate. We don't have victory many times because we're not working or witnessing. And giving of ourselves to Him. Again, faith without works is dead. And then that feeling of the Holy Spirit. Listen, this morning, you want to experience victory? You want to experience victory? here are a few keys to it. And there's some preachers in this auditorium and some others who could give you another five or six. Here's a few important ones. God desires for you to have victory. God desires for you to enjoy life, not endure it. God desires for you to enjoy the Christian life and not endure it. I love the Lord, don't you? And He's equipped us to enjoy Him. Just these simple things. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation, hymn 5.